1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 1, and when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. When the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel, and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, It was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half has not been told me. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee, that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices very great store. And precious stones, there came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram that brought gold from Ophir, brought in from Ophir great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almug tree pillars for the house of the Lord, and for the king's house harps also and psalteries for singers. There came no such almug trees, nor were seen unto this day. And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire. Whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. And she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. We all know that scripture. Let's turn to it in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 12, please. One verse of commentary by the Lord Jesus concerning this wonderful woman. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42. Matthew 12 and verse 32. 42. Matthew 12, verse 42. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment. With this generation shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. God will bless to us these scriptures that we have read together. Now, it's just Wednesday of this week. We had a young man in our home. Came from Ontario, and he's not safe. Comes to every meeting that we are having there, I suppose, as well as in Dawson Creek. Can't seem to find the Christ of God. Seems to show every evidence of understanding the way of salvation. Gives evidence that he truly would like to be saved. He's subject to epileptic fits. He told us in the few days that he was with us that he hasn't had it for a number of years because he's learned how to control it. While sitting at the table on Wednesday evening, I don't know, dear father and mother, whether you take time. But if you have children, I trust that you'll have enough of the fear of God to not leave the training up of your children to the assembly and to others. You and I have a responsibility to train up a child in the way it should go. And when it is old, it'll not depart from it. That will not say that they will get saved. But that which is sown in the home, I believe, is going to make the greatest impression on my and your children. Take time to read the Bible. If you only read it when it comes to assembly meetings,
you are not fulfilling your responsibility, don't expect blessing. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sow the good word of God in a wise way to your children when they're young. I know I'm young, I'm not boasting. I don't know how they'll turn out, but I'd rather fear God now with them and shed a few tears than have the grief later. You do your best. God's the one that's going to bring the increase. Read the scriptures. Have a family altar. You can't. The children cannot. Absolutely cannot, with all the traction and the temptation, especially when our children are exposed to a secular education. They need that in the home from father and mother. Reality. Train up a child the way it should go. Anyhow, so much for that. You've got a hymn book. And brethren, don't sing always the gospel hymns to their children. They know that verbatim. They know the gospel and they can present it just as well. You get the good ministry into their hearts. Good solid hymns like we sung this morning. And this man, young man, gave up a hymn by his choice. O blessed Lord, what hast thou done? Last the ransom went. He got down to the third verse. And I looked at him. What is it? He got what he hadn't got for a long time. And I left it in order. Children were just sitting there. It was a slight. Had another one the next morning. I had to stay in bed all day. Something moved him, rather. I wish it had moved him to trust Christ and get beyond that. But he was moved. It was his own choice. Unseen, we love thee, dear in thy name. Oh, brethren, that's why we have read this morning about the Queen of Sheba. Because of an impression that was made upon this life, of this soul, so high and lofty, all the monarchs of earth that came to this man Solomon, he's the only one that has the dignity of what others didn't have, of communing with us. And she's the one that is mentioned of all the monarchs and queens, if there were any other queens that came to him. She's the only one mentioned, as we read in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 12, that she shall rise in the resurrection and condemn that generation. So my little thought this morning, brethren, is we need to be impressed. We need to have indelible impressions. And you know, brethren and sisters, it's not just the fact that we hear because she heard. It says here in verse 1, and when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon. Well, I believe that's where it all started. It was an exercise of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But brethren, we've got to have more than just faith in Christ. We've got to see things. I don't mean vision, and translations, and all the rest, but I believe steady impressions from the word of God that will leave indelible marks upon our life. So that instead of the world influencing the speaker and the believer, we will, because of impressions made in our soul, we will impress those we work with and rub shoulders with and go to school with. And we'll not be ashamed, boy or girl, man and woman, where we are. I am not ashamed, the Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth. Let's not go away with a spirit of fear. But let's not go away in boastfulness. But let's be impressed like the Queen of Sheba. So that some marks are going to be made upon her life. Notice, she heard. Verse 2, she came. Oh, they're just simple observations. But that's all we can give in fact. I have other brethren here that can go down deeper. And get the gold and the silver. And we need that too. But we'll just stay on the surface. That's about as far as our little shovels take. And it says here in the second verse, and she came to Jerusalem. She came to Jerusalem. Listen, brethren. She came at least 1,200 miles. That's something. On the grounds of what she heard. How far have we come? Well, we've come farther than that. We've come from a state of sin. But that's not the practical side. The practical side is this. She came because of the wisdom of this man Solomon. 1,200 miles to see if what she heard was true. Are we still coming? To whom coming as unto a living stone? Oh, not just to come to Christ for salvation, but steadily and consistently coming to Him. That's where the impressions are going to be made. To whom coming as to a living stone, disallowed of men, but exceeding precious to those that believe. Are we coming? Notice what we read in verse 2. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him. That's God. Not just union, brethren, but communion. That is fellowshipping with the Lord Jesus. Really, brethren and sisters, if we understand our salvation aright, our salvation, although it includes going to heaven, that is not what God had intended for us. God has something far better than that. God has, as the Bible says, we are called, God is faithful, who has called us into the fellowship of His Son. Really, that's the important thing. We're not important. The important thing is the last Adam is important. We have all, quite often, we attribute all that is said in the Word of God towards us and all centered around us. That's a self-centered religion. Well, we've got to get outside of that and see that what God wants tonight or today is people that are attracted to Christ. See, some give Him place. Others give Him prominence. But God gives Him preeminence, that in all things He has the preeminent place. Not really what's involved in our conversion. It's not the fact that I'm saved and going to heaven. That's true. That's how we started. But God wants us to get beyond this. It's like Eve was given to Adam. What for? For the fellowship. Not even for fruitfulness. Not even to bear children. Eve was given to Adam for fellowship. For it's not good that the man should be alone. And God is so determined that Christ be filled with all. He brings into being a bride, the church which is His body. In order as Eve is in conjunction with Adam, so the bride in conjunction with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, what He's missing quite often in my life and yours is the fellowship. She came that great distance on the exercise of faith, and she communed with this man Solomon, the wisest man of all the earth. And who do we got to commune with and have fellowship? It's with the Lord Jesus Christ. She communed with Him of all that was in her heart. You know what Proverbs says, the wise man? Delight thyself. Notice where the emphasis is again. Delight thyself with the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. You want to get rich? Is that what the Lord aims for you? Some are rich, but some want to be rich. There's a great difference there. Delight thyself with the Lord, not even with Jesus. Delight thyself with the Lord. Give the Lord the first place in your life, and He will give you. I'll tell you, as a father, I'm holding on to that. God in my children, a lot of other things. I fail, I'm not here to brag. Many times I've failed and wept over myself. But listen, God still knows that deep down in the soul, and that's what He's after. Deep down in the soul, we want to delight in the Lord. We want to give Him first place in our life. And brethren, that's the secret of what Paul's ministry was all about. We've been bought body, soul, and spirit. We do not belong to ourselves. We belong unto Him who loved us and died for us and rose again. We have no more rights. Therefore, if I am pursuing my own course, I'm not delighting, and I'll not get the desires of His heart. Because if we delight in the Lord, the Spirit of God will reproduce in our souls what is the desire
of the head of in heaven, the Lord in heaven, of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. Notice, and there was not anything hid from the kings which he told her not. And you know what I thought of? I thought of Psalm 25 and verse 14. The secrets of the Lord are with them that fear him. Abraham feared God, and he could not withhold from Abraham that which he was going to give unto him. Listen, the fear of God. And listen, this is very important in the life of the child of God, because before we were saved, we were brought to fear God in another respect. I feared going down to hell. I was afraid. Now it's another fear. It's respect and awe and reverence for who God is and what he said in his word. What does the Bible say? The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and deliver them. You know what the Bible says? Malachi 3. That they that feared the Lord spake off one to another, over one another. That's gospel. There's no end to that. Then they that feared the Lord spake off one to another. In order to speak one to another, we've got to have something to share with one another. And if we're not dwelling in these things, we don't. And the conversation stops. So then we go on to other things that we have been impressed by. Did you hear? You pass it on. That person, did you hear? That little fish, you know, that when my boy caught the other day in Swan Lake, that long, by the time they got home, you know, the thing was, well, you could hardly get it in the boat. Well, I know as Dad and Mum, we just narrowed it right down. So right down to its size again. For the boy was getting bigger and bigger. Listen, brethren, there's something in this. Gossip always gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And when you really, truly find out, it wasn't that at all. Something altogether different. It says here, and the king didn't hide it. Oh, boy. Isn't that wonderful? The king, the fullness that's in the Lord Jesus, wants to unfold it to us. But there's only one condition. Fear the Lord. We read about in Acts chapter 8, is it? Isn't that correct? The brother knows sure enough. Help me. It says in chapter 9, when the lion becomes a lamb, speaking about Saul of Tarsus, the breezy lion, calling out threatenings against the church of God, when he was brought to be a lamb at the Master's Road, it says, then had the churches rest, and they were walking. Brethren, that's so essential. Fear the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Here we read, and he didn't withhold anything that was in his heart. And he told it to her. Notice, and when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, that's the first thing she mentioned, wisdom. And in the meal table this morning with the old times, I don't know if that's the way it is, the French people, on time, is that the way you say it? And we're mentioning this morning. What were the three things that Solomon asked for? Well, God says, do you want victory over your enemy? I'll give you that. Do you want wealth and health? He says, no. He says, I want wisdom to go in and out amongst the Lord's people. Now, this is what's impressing her. She didn't have to come 1,200 kilometers to see his wealth. And to look at it, a healthy man. But she did want wisdom, brethren. Don't we want wisdom today? Don't we need wisdom? Doesn't the elders and the assemblies here represented need wisdom? And the deacons? Don't father and mother, don't we need wisdom? We don't need all the other things. The other things would take us away from God if we don't want them. What we do need is wisdom. Any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And that's just what she's doing. And the house that he had built, wonderful house, local assembly, that's what he has built, Lord Jesus. And the meat on his table, you know it's on our table, just bread and wine. And the sitting of his servants, the thing that impressed me, brethren, that she's not only impressed by the wisdom of this man, Solomon, and then got a good bit of wisdom from him and instruction and went back to the country. No, she goes from Solomon and she says, what effect is Solomon having on those people there? And everything she sees is taking cue from Solomon.
That's the way it should be in the assembly. They should see what's on our tables. The Bible even says, their apparel, you say, it doesn't matter what you put on today. I do believe that, brother. I was called to the Queen of England. I don't mean Princess Diana. I mean the Queen of England. I'll tell you, I think I would dress appropriately. Do you not think so? How would you go to her? Greater than Solomon, chief. We shouldn't be slipshod in that and overdoing it, making ourselves look so wonderful. It has to do with it. Everything that she's seeing takes cue from Solomon. Very apparel, the very way they're sitting, reverence, like to see in the children. Listen, if you want it in the assembly, brother, if you want children to be reverent, and at other people's homes, you'll have to do it at home, because children are not there. Children are not there. What they do at home, they do other ways. The wife was over in a place this the other day, and the poor mother. I felt so sorry for her. The woman was just slumping on everything. She got off from the tea table. People like this. And of course, everybody is new. Oh, she says, my children. And I says, yes, you have me. What do you mean? Just don't they do that at home? She says, yes. Well, you're at home. You should train them at home. See, what children are at home? They're anywhere. Notice their attendance of it, the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and the cupbearers. And notice the last thing that is mentioned. The first thing is the wisdom, and the last thing that is mentioned, and his ascent, how he goes up to the house of God. How do we come to our gatherings? Prayer me. Bible. Are you there? Morning meeting? We're all there. Prayer meeting. Is that any less a meeting than the other? Is the worship meeting more important than the prayer meeting? Would you show me that, please, from the scriptures? Is the Bible reading, the ministry, is that any less important in the worship? Tommy Thompson, whom we are praying for earnestly in his dear wife, he tells us that up there in Alaska, the first meeting that anyone stays away from is not the prayer meeting, then the Bible reading, then the gospel meeting, and finally, if it gets that far, the worship meeting. He said it's just the opposite. The very first one they miss is the morning meeting, the worship meeting. Because they have come to realize that if I'm wrong, that's where it's got to start. And she said to the king, and his ascent, verse 5 at the close, and his, by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdoms. Howbeit I believe not the words until I came, and mine eyes have seen it, and behold, the half has not been told. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. Happy are thy people. Are we really happy this morning? Let me search myself. Are we a happy people to be with God's people this morning, where the word of God unreservedly can be read and spoken from? It says, happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee. And you know what I thought of this morning? In the home there. I thought, shouldn't that be characteristic of our lives like the early Christians? That they that gladly received his word were baptized and added to the local assembly, and they continue. See, it's one thing to start, but it's another thing to continue. And in order to continue, brethren, we must be convinced that what we do, it's not a preference, but it's a conviction that where we are is according to the truth of God, and we carry these things up. And so they did. She says, they must be an awful happy people that stand before thee. I thought of about, is it in 1 Samuel there, about Mephibosheth. And it says about Mephibosheth that he ate continually at David's table. Here they're standing before the height of wisdom. Except the Lord Jesus. Wisest man that ever lived was Solomon. There they are, standing in his presence to hear his wisdom. Mephibosheth is sitting in the presence of David. He's also come from a long place. From Lodibar, the place of no pasture, to the place that was laden with goods. All that David was enjoying was the enjoyment for the appetite of this man, Mephibosheth. Yes, ate continually. The king crawled down to Daniel and said, Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, not haphazardly, not just a hypo now and again, continually serving him, is he able to deliver thee? Certainly. What do we read about in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, or chapter 24? And they praise God in the temple continually. See, brethren, it's standing continually before wisdom. It's eating continually at the Lord's table. It's serving continually. It's praising continually. And the psalmist crowns it all. Let those that love thy name say continually, the Lord be magnified. How can we do it? We can only do it like Mephibosheth. Because when she saw this, she's not just seeing Solomon now, she's seeing the effect and the influence that Solomon is having upon their life. And they're only being influenced by Solomon because they're in his presence continually. See my point this morning? It's when we dwell in the presence of the Lord Jesus continually. Every opportunity we get. These impressions impress others. And who do we impress? The queens of Sheba. The kings, the statesmen, the rulers. They can't understand. Notice verse 10, brethren, please. And she gave the king. Verse 10. Verse 13. And the king Solomon gave her. Verse 10. She gives him. Verse 13. He gives her. Notice. Let's read verse 10. Notice the difference. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices very great store. And precious stones, there came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Listen. Her gifts could be measured. Verse 13. And the king Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, that was inward, instruction, wisdom, and so forth, whatever she asked beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty, and it cannot be measured. Her gifts are measurable. His gifts are unmeasurable. Listen, there's a fullness in the person of the Lord Jesus. He gives beyond what we could ever ask or think, is what Solomon gave to her. And then we read here, because of that, closing verse 13, so she turned and went to her own country. How? I believe like the wise men. She went away another way. Listen, brethren, I trust that in these few days together, we'll go away from Calvary another way. She was humble. She came. She wasn't too proud to come to hear the wisdom of this man Solomon, although she was a queen. She was wise. She listened. She was honest. She was changed. She honestly admitted. I believe when this woman went back to her own land, that all she was talking about was Solomon, Solomon and Solomon. To herself, to her servants. And going back with that impression she received from Solomon to impress, because evidently she didn't have those attendants in the ministers. She evidently didn't have the ascent, that pious, that godly, that reverence ascent going up to something. She didn't have servants there in the apparel that was extolling her, but maybe extolling themselves. Brother, the Bible says a greater than Solomon is here. And I say it carefully, but I mean it.
that unless we're impressed by the Holy Spirit about this glorious person, we'll be left to our own taste. We'll be left to our own judgment. And we will go our own way. And we'll lack what God intended for us, that we might glorify Him. He's going to show the exceeding riches of His kindness towards us in a coming day in the glory. But we're to go forth and show forth the virtues of Him. Listen, the virtues of Him. In order to show the virtues.
Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Matthew chapter 1, please. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judah and his brethren. And Judah begat Phares and Zarah Tamar. Phares begat Ezram, and Ezram begat Aram, and Aram begat Amminadab. And Amminadab begat Naasson, and Naasson begat Salmon. Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king. And David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Verse 16. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. It's the exercise of the brethren here at the Hillhurst Gospel Hall, that at the closing of this conference that the gospel should be preached. The gospel that has made glad the hearts of so many in the building here tonight. And all we can say, it's not because we have joined the gospel. I never yet, after 32 years, been a member amongst the saints here. I have yet not become a member of the gospel hall. We do not belong to the gospel hall. The gospel hall belongs to us. But we do belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is a great difference. For we're not here to represent the gospel hall, or even the body of believers here. We're just trying to say in the invitation of Revelation 22, and the Spirit and the bride say, Come. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, without which nobody could become a child of God. We tried the religious way. If Sid Hulsben was here tonight, we've learned a lot from younger brethren as well. He would say it's not religion, it's relationship. A relationship that has been broken away back in the Garden of Eden when sin first showed its ugly head. It caused a widening span between the man that walked with God and the God that walked with man. And it was not the sin of being a druggist or a drunkard or a blasphemer or someone that committed fornication. It was just a resisting and a rejection of the Word of God. This is what sin is a turning from the ways of God. And so we're appealing tonight to those that are here. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the only one that can convince the sinner of his sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. It's only the Holy Spirit that can convert the soul and open the blinded eyes and reveal the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ. To know Him is to love Him. And to love Him is to be a worshiper of this person. Why, when the wise men from the east, and they followed the star, and they came to where the Lord Jesus was, listen, they fell down and worshiped Him. The highest quality of service that any sinner saved by the grace of God could ever accomplish. This is what I want to tell those in our meeting tonight that they're unconverted. As our brother says, we just want to be a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Listen, when the wise men followed the star and they came to the place where the Lord Jesus was, they saw the Son of God. Star disappears.
the sun comes into view. You look in the heavens today, we've had a lovely day. Brother, the sun shines here in Calgary too. Thinks it only shines in Kamloops. But listen, those stars, those majestic stars, and they say that the closest one, boys and girls, is 8 light years away, light traveling. I think, Brother Gary, at 175,000 miles a second. Multiply that by minutes, hours, days, weeks, and years. 8 light years away. There's those stars. And when the sun comes up in the east, they all disappear. No, they're all there. They never disappear. They're still there, but in the presence of the sun, the greater light, it is though they disappear. Dear unsaved one and fellow travelers from eternity, we want your eyes to be focused on the Son of God tonight. It is the promise of God, full salvation to give unto him who on Jesus, his Son, will believe. Hallelujah, it is done for me 32 years ago. The city of Vancouver, something we'll never be ashamed of or tired of telling. Why, when the Apostle Paul was telling his conversion in chapter 9, it's a light. In chapter 22, it's a great light. In chapter 26, it's a light above the brightness of the sun. What is the world tonight, your unsaved one, got to offer when we have everything in Christ now and forever? You're just like a little boy brave. I came home, you know, our children are quite young yet. I shake that even. Came home with little containers of soap with a little stick in it, plastic, one of the plastic things. Don't let your religion become plastic. Your Christianity. All you do is dip it in, you know, and you blow it. And what happens? Why, these soap bubbles, they're floating, aren't they? And I was looking out the window and I saw the boys, and they were low, and finally one got the idea of getting up higher. Some small ones, some big ones. Why, when the sun shone upon those soap bubbles, all the colors of the rainbow were there. So I went out to teach him a little lesson. And his brother, you go after one of those bubbles and bring it back. And he was like a little deer. He was gone. Finally, he caught up with one. He thought it was a big one. He grabbed a hold of it. He says, "Daddy, here it is." And let me see. Listen, dear unsaved one, that's right here. It's like soap bubbles. Nothing to it. The devil promises everything, but he takes everything. Lo, I was thinking today, in view of this, I told my brother I'm exercised about the gospel, about as far as I can go. We read in Matthew chapter 1, about four women, Tamar, Ruth, Rahab and Bathsheba, all sinners. Two sets of twos. In Ruth and Rahab, the emphasis, they were strangers to the common wealth of Israel. Tamar and Bathsheba, Jewish women, they were sinners of the Jewish nation. Two on the outside of the commonwealth of Israel, two inside, but they're all sinners. Isn't it marvelous, dear unsaved one? And this should be a challenge and an encouragement to attract you to Christ tonight. The Lord is not ashamed to have in his lineage, if he goes back to David, and he goes right to the throne, to have four women in his genealogy that are sinful women. Rahab the harlot, Tamar that played prostitution, Bathsheba as well. And then there's Ruth. Belong to the tribe that were enemies of the people of God, the tribe of the Moabites. They're all bound up in this generation, the genealogy of the Lord Jesus. You can be included tonight because you are a stranger like Ruth and Rahab. You are a sinner like Tamar and this other woman, Bathsheba. But for this purpose, dear unsaved one, he left the heights of glory, came down to the sin-cursed, as we say, down from the glory the Savior came. Down to the cross and the death of shame, gazing in wonder, I there exclaimed, "Jesus died for me." Can you say it on this side of the gospel hall tonight? Can you say that Jesus is a reality tonight? Jesus died for me. How about it on the side tonight? Are you inside the family of God? Are you in the place where there's shelter and protection and safety and salvation? If not, you're going to be like some of these others. Tamar, you know. She came into the genealogy and the emphasis in her life is sin. And Ruth, it's the grace of God. And Rahab is faith. And without these three things, you could not be a saved person tonight. You must acknowledge your sin. You must know the grace of God in Christ Jesus. And you must exercise faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus. Sin. Sin that deceives the heart. Sin that deadens the conscience. Sin that destroys the character. And sin that damns the soul. The place where the devil wants to get you today. Listen. And the bride said to me, the Holy Spirit and the children of God, part of the bride that we've been hearing about, they're really long and they're praying right at their seat, on their seats tonight. Long that this conference will end with another soul because one got saved last night. You say who it is? I can't say who it is. I don't know. I think it was out of the properties. Isn't that great? Isn't that right, Brother Dave? Praise God. That's what it's all about. Through the gospel. Don't let the devil deceive your heart, destroy your character, and your soul. Because it's most precious. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Spoke to a young man. Listen, anywhere and everywhere is the time to speak to the young anybody. Spoke to him and about a 7-hour trip on, 5-hour trip on the bus. Toronto to Montreal. Chicago to Toronto. In the course of the conversation, he had won. He'd won a scholarship for 3 years. In Australia, he was the top male singer of the high schools of all Australia. Another girl won it for the girls. Prepaid ticket to Toronto to go to a singing school for 3 years. You know, he just held his El Dorado before him. There were castles in the sky. He was going to make money because we discussed it. And he was going, I says, what are you going to do then? He said, I'm going to become a great singer. And then what? He says, then I want to go to Broadway and sing over the TV. I says, then what? Well, he says, you know, I want to make lots of money. I says, and then what? Well, we're going on. The bus is still going. And I says, and then what? Well, he says, I want to marry, of course, a princess like Diane. Yes, he says, I want a good girl. Very good. I says, then what? Well, he says, I want to raise my family and give them a good education. And then what? Well, he says, you get older, you know. He says, we want to retire on the side of a nice hill. And we've got a private way down to a lake. And we've got our own private plane and yacht. And he was just suggesting so many things. And he says, and then what? Well, he says, then we're getting old. I says, and then what? He says, when are you going to stop? I says, I'm going to keep on going till you stop. I said, then what? Well, he says, I'm going to die. I said, sir, and then what? He said, well, he says, I'm not thinking about it. And God has sent me to heaven. That's what he told him. And I'm sure you're going to go. It is appointed in Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto men once to die. Let's have that. And you're within reach as a stranger like Ruth and Rahab. You're within reach of not just the commonwealth of Israel, but you're in reach of Christ and as the Savior of the world. And you're within reach, dear sinner and sinneress. You're in within reach of redemption and salvation tonight because Christ is offered. Sir, the prize in time. It says, and let him that heareth, have got ears to hear tonight, let him come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life free. Look around you, dear unsaved one. We're not sad. We're not sad. Boy, the ministry has done me a world of good. I'm going charged back to Dawson Creek and Terrace eventually, and I'll tell you something's gotta happen. It's gotta happen, brethren. That's why we're here. Because he has been made real to us. And we're presenting Christ tonight. Right here in the gospel hall. And without him, your soul will be damned in hell. Forever and forever. While we sing the song of the Lamb unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins and we're glad to be in heaven. Torment, the fire. My bride will never see any prosperity. What a mercy for that young man. About 2 weeks too soon is rough. He knew no one. That's just the way God was. Nowhere to go. Nothing to do. It's a lonely place, eh? You're unsafe, one? Try to spend an evening without the friends, and without the television, and without the drink. You're alone with yourself. See, you're decided on your end. It's like that bubble that's where you're caught. You see, you look so good for this. But really, when you get a hold of it, there's nothing to do. When he gets out of his room where he's going to stay, what a mercy. And on a Saturday night, he thought either he'll go bowling or go to the show. He steps out of the city, passing through. What did he hear? The gospel. Sinners. At this group, preaching the gospel. And after they've sung a few hymns, a young Swedish man gets up. And he says, oh, he says in the letter he wrote me, he says, it looks a lot like you. It wasn't me at all. And you know what his text was? He said, the text he left. The Spirit and the Bride say, come, see, something's drawing tonight. We hope it's drawing you away from your sin, away from being a stranger to Christ and to His people, and drawing you to the place called Calvary that you might take a drink of that living water. He says, the man spoke. What shall it profit a man if he gave the whole world and lose his own soul? Saturday night. And he put his room to the ground so that when the meeting was over, he was still there. And the same man came and says, sir, young man, he says, you have listened well tonight. Well, he says, this is coincidental. They told it in short. He says, will you come with me tonight? He stayed with them that night with his wife and three children. And Sunday night, he was in the kingdom of God. And today he's out there preaching with the Aborigines in the inland of Australia. Listen, dear, I'll say what God can do that to you today. There's power in that gospel to wean you away as a stranger to Christ. Wean you away from your sin tonight. That will damn your soul forever. But listen, not only do you need to acknowledge your sin tonight like Tamar, but you need to come into the line and the lineage of the Lord Jesus on the grounds of grace, and that's truth. Why have I found grace in thy sight, that thou shouldst take knowledge of thee which is but a stranger? Isn't that wonderful? God's dealings with us in grace when we acknowledge our sin. Why the Spirit of God and the Bride of Christ was at work through the preaching of the gospel to bring you and to woo you to the place that you come under the shades of Calvary and by faith for me. Another died for me like Ruth did. He came to be in the very presence of Boaz, the mighty man of wealth. And if he had wealth, what is our Lord Jesus Christ? He's the very essence of wealth and all that is combined. So you need to know the grace of God. You know what grace is? Grace is bestowing upon you something that you never deserve. And all we deserve is banishment, righteous banishment from God's presence tonight. And yet He's pleased to bring you in, but you must, like Ruth of old, you must leave Moab, that place of enmity. You need to come from that distant place to the place where, for her, Boaz was, and the place where Christ is. You say, where is Christ tonight? Right beside you. Right in front of you. Right above you. Right around you. All He says, come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now listen, you're not saved yet. If you have acknowledged your sin, and if you know the grace of God in this sense that you believe that Christ did come into the world and accomplish the work of redemption, you're not saved yet. You must exercise faith in the grace that is provided in Christ Jesus. And we come now to Rahab the harlot. Why, that city that's doomed to destruction, like this ungodly world, it's lightning fast for the judgments of God. Do you know, friend, and I don't know hardly a portion of it, but if we knew what the leaders of our land knew as to the awful powers that are resident in the hands of the Americans and the Russians, those bombs that could destroy nations, and they're just so fearful that some person in a fanatical, like an Arab of Suez, would press the button and global conflict would be brought to pass. There's Rahab. She had a fear of God. She knew that the Israelites were coming. And it says that she wanted a true token. Do you want a true token today? Do you want something that you can stand? Brother Dave said when we had meetings together, he says, I've got more foundation for my soul than for my foot, for my feet. I began to think that over, and it's absolutely true. I said, this podium, I hope it doesn't give way, but it could give way. Not the rock of ages. Men are arguing about the ages of the rocks, the scientists. But we know tonight, the rock of ages that shall prevail. The Lord Jesus Christ, do you know him today? You want something solid under you, something in you for the future, and a sure hope of heaven, a living hope. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's Rahab. She says, give me a sure token. If these Israelites are coming, I know God's with them. If they're coming, I want something that's sure. And they said, here it is. It's a scarlet cord. And you hang it out of the window. And they were no sooner gone, and out that cord went, just as quick as possible. And the moment that was hanging there, she was safe, because she had God's word for it. And the moment that blood flowed at the place called Calvary, by faith the Old Testament saints looked forward to it, and by faith we're looking back on it. And I'm trusting the precious blood of the Lord Jesus to take me into glory. Why? It's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses. Oh, isn't that lovely? Talk about a shower of bath. Here it is. Cleanse us from all sin, inward and outward. The moment you trust Christ, the power of that work of Christ becomes yours, and you go away a new creature. Any man be in Christ, forgiven, pardoned, saved, and satisfied. Rahab hangs it up, and she's inside. Doesn't matter how many gets she gets inside of that house, boy, as long as they're inside of the scarlet cord, they're all safe. Father, mother, brother and sisters, uncle and aunt, grandpas and grandmas and great ones and great ones, they're all inside. They're all safe. Because the Israelites that come are looking on that scar that's on the outside. And listen, everybody that comes to Christ and enters through the door by faith, God looks upon Calvary with great satisfaction. He saw that blood that flowed. I never saw it, you never did. We must believe like Rahab, it's on the outside. There it is, 2,000 years ago, blood flow. Are you prepared tonight, at this closing moments of the gospel meeting, are you prepared to be numbered amongst the bride? Are you prepared to trust Christ tonight? If you do that, you'll go away a changed person. You'll know that the burden has been lifted, because burdens are lifted at Calvary. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. You say tonight, what must I do? Do I have to do something? Do I have to say a prayer? Do I have to know so much of the scripture? Do I need to become a member of this group? No, sir. We're just telling you that 2,000 years ago, the work was accomplished. And what you need to do, acknowledge your sin. Believe that on the principle of grace you can be saved. And by faith tonight, you reach out the empty hand of faith. And you say, Lord Jesus, I will trust thee. Trust thee with my soul, guilty, lost, and helpless. Ah, there's a person. And make me whole. And I've heard her Paris was here tonight. You know what he would say? Two ways before us lie. One upward to the sky. One downward to the lake. Each his choice must make. Who would choose? Pitiful. Each must answer. Yes or no. And you say yes to Jesus tonight. Believe he died for you. Come with us, and we will bring you down to us. He has done nothing else since 3 days ago, and we believe it's going to continue forever. Come to the Lord Jesus. As the Bible says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. So